Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Happy Monday, Bethany.
Happy Monday, Kathleen. If there was a turtle award for the slowest person to be ready for anything today, I think I win the turtle award.
Welcome to a loosey-goosey bonus episode of an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen, like Bethany just called me, and that's Bethany, like I just called her.
Yeah. Hey, I woke up late. I woke up at 8:15, 8:30, which is...
Okay. Let's talk about definitions of waking up late, because that's very early for me.
What time do you normally wake up?
I think I think about waking up about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And then most of the time I get out of bed at 9, which is a sin. I spent most of my adult life, my adult career, waking up at 4 in the morning. So I'm like, I'm giving myself a little bit of leeway now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. See, so same. And so to me, if I wake up at 8 or 8:15, like I did this morning, that feels to me like waking up around noon. Like, I just feel like I missed a significant portion of my day. I try to wake up between 5 and 7.
That's 5 o'clock, Bethany. Why do that to yourself?
I'd wake up at 5 if I have a lot of things I need to get done, because I've said this before, my insecurity doesn't wake up until about 7:30 or 8. So if I need to send particularly ballsy emails or, you know, go for something that I don't know if I have any business going for, you know, applying for a job, whatever, I do that before 8 o'clock hits.
I will say that if you live near the beach, and when I was on vacation with my friend last week, we got up on the very last day because we had to check out of the motel by 11 o'clock in the morning. We got up at 7, put on our swimsuits right away, lathered up, went to the beach, and that's when all the really cute surfers are there. Waking up early when you live at the beach really does pay off. Look how tan I am. I have a tan line.
You are so profoundly tan. You looked very tan. I mean, if tan is what you're going for, you look great and you accomplished it.
Except my face, because it's all bronzer. It's all fake.
Oh, well done.
I lather up my face. Yeah, I know. You look as beautiful and as pale and as delicate as ever, my friend.
Thank you. I bought a parasol, but it was cute, but it didn't come with any UPF protection. And UPF is SPF, but for fabric.
Oh.
So I spent last night pinning UPF fabric to the underside of this parasol, and I'm going to spend today sewing it on so that I can, you know, be protected.
Yeah. Can I tell you something that somebody mentioned to me about fabric with sun protection, and it really upset me? I've done zero research into this, so this is just stream of consciousness for me.
Sure.
Fabrics that are quick dry fabrics, or fabrics that are wear this for SPF protection. Mm-hmm. Apparently, a lot of that stuff is made overseas, specifically in China, where they have less regulations. And basically, my rudimentary understanding of this, my friend said that they dunk the clothes in chemicals, and then it's the chemicals that make the fabric SPF or, you know, quick dry and stuff like that. That's upsetting, right?
It's very upsetting. Well, that's good to know. I have some research to do.
When you and I went to the Grand Canyon, they were very specific, you know, because we were going to be down there for 3 days, 4 days. And they were like, do not wear anything that is cotton, because cotton holds 70% of its weight in water. So they didn't want us wearing any cotton. They wanted us wearing all quick dry stuff. So I do have a lot of quick dry stuff left over from that vacation.
Yeah, I do too. And I also have a significant amount of clothing that's, you know, sun protection. I'm wearing less of it now because it doesn't breathe very well, ironically. So you're going to be sweating a ton, even if you're protected from the sun. But I am putting it into this parasol. But you're right, I need to do more research into that. You know, you just assume that products are good, and by and large, they're not.
I know.
They're really, really not.
Oh, God.
Thank you for telling me that.
Whatever happened to halter tops, right?
I love a halter top.
Me too. This dress is not a halter top. It looks like a halter top, but it actually comes up in the back and ties. This is my Target muumuu that I've been wearing every day.
It looks like a halter top. It has the same line as a halter.
Right? It just got me thinking, whatever happened to halter tops? You don't see them in the stores anymore.
I know. You really have to search them out. And for people like me who have linebacker shoulders, I have very wide, broad shoulders. Halter tops are great because they cut that line.
Yes.
You know, right where they get the broadest, you get a neck cut and it makes your shoulders look a little bit less funky.
Interesting. Yeah. You don't see it anymore. No. There used to be halter top bathing suits. You don't see that anymore either.
Justice for the halter. JFTH.
Have you put on a bathing suit yet this summer?
No. That involves going outside. Bless your heart. I've put on multiple body suits because it is the summer of the body suit for me.
It is.
But no. And I recently, you know, because of the bed bug issue, I went through all of my clothes and I had to really like clean all of my drawers out and all of that stuff. And so I went through all of my clothing and I have a significant number of bathing suits that I forgot about that are delightful. And I was like, well, friends, you can stay here, but you probably won't be seeing outside anytime soon. It's so hot.
You should go on vacation and just go night swimming.
That would be fantastic. Or like go to Iceland and wear a bathing suit to go into the hot springs. That's, you know, that's
exactly
that's when a bathing suit's going to happen for me.
I lost all my sandals. Can't find them. All my summer sandals, they're stored away somewhere that I put away last summer. Can't find any of them.
Oh, no. Even your Randall Loeffler Randall sandals that you love so much?
Yes. Yes. I can't find anything. And I like have been wearing my Birkenstocks everywhere. And I think my mom is so embarrassed of me every time I...
You're going to find your sandals right about October, mid-October.
Yeah.
You'll be able to wear them for about a week. And then it's going to start getting chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kathleen, this week... For the bonus, we're doing a couple of emails. Yes.
Yes. We got an email from a listener about a wedding. We'll pull that up in a second.
Yeah.
And then I saw this really interesting thing that Bethany's going to read from the Facebook fan group about bringing your own food to a barbecue.
Which, you know what? The more people who have specialty diet needs, you know, it's a it's a thing.
It's a thing.
So, yeah, we'll read that too. God, I'm out of it. I need to just like slap myself in the face.
You need some coffee, girl. See my mug? It's got little boobies on it.
I like that mug.
Boobies. So I wrote this thing on my Twitter and I got a lot of really good response. And so I want to sort of reiterate it here now.
Sure.
Life is too short to worry about your goddamn cellulite.
Yeah.
Wear the short shorts. Like baby girl, baby boy, baby human, however you identify, wear the goddamn short shorts. And dance like nobody is watching.
Yeah, let the world see your legs because you know what? The fact that you have them and you can walk and you are strong, like wear them. I was at CVS picking up some popcorn and I saw these two women walk by and they were both clearly like models. They were both about 5'11 and they were wearing giant heels, giant chonky boots, and they were wearing super tiny shorts and... Because I cannot keep myself from lusting after women who, like, visually, I just think women are friggin' gorgeous. As they were walking by, I sort of just glanced at their legs because they were mostly legs. They both had cellulite. Like, these are two women who are tall, super thin, gorgeous. Yeah. They both had cellulite. And I've said that before. Like, I've been to runway shows and I've seen, I went to a swimwear runway show. All of these models had cellulite. It's normal.
Yeah.
So do not be afraid. It's the price we pay for, you know, having bodies.
Yeah. And if you have a problem with Chub Rub, my favorite product ever is Mega Babe's Thigh Rescue. You can get it at Target. If you go to megababe.com, it's by Instagram personality, journalist, and fashion expert Katie Storino. She does this thing on Instagram called like Make My Size, where she goes into the store and tries on the largest size. And when it doesn't fit her, she takes a picture in the dressing room that's like, okay, Zara, like, F you, time to make my size because
her.
This is not an extra large.
Yeah.
She has this line called Mega Babe Thigh Rescue. Lube up those thighs. Lube them up, wear your short shorts. And when I was down the shore, I have these like really cute little like white overalls that are shorts. And I would like throw it over my bathing suit to walk back and forth from the beach. And I kind of got down on myself because when I was walking into the front of the motel, there's a reflection. And I can see the way my legs look. And then at some point during the week when I was there, I was just like, fuck it. I'm just not going to care anymore because like I'm not going to get down on myself every time I'm walking into the motel and I'm not going to wear pants to the beach. That's malarkey.
Right. No, I know. Yeah.
So just like, you know, screw it, man. Screw it.
I'm hoping that at some point we all get to the point where we're so sick of hating ourselves. I mean, and I think some people have hit that.
Yeah.
Where we're just so sick of hating ourselves that we have that extra brain space to focus on other things that are more important than just like berating ourselves for being who we are.
I know. And who I am is a mozzarella stick, cottage cheese legged lady. And cheese is delicious, so I'm not going to get down on myself.
Girl, I'd eat those mozzarella sticks.
Mmm, I toasted them up for you this week, baby.
Girl.
All right, so I'm pulling up this email that we got from a taste bud. Let's call her A.
Yes.
And the email is mostly about how she doesn't know how to make big decisions.
She's a little bit like Chidi from The Good Place. Like, she just cannot make decisions and she gets paralyzed by them. And I don't think she's alone in that.
No. And honestly, when I have to make a big decision, I walk on it. I go for a walk. Walking helps you.
Oh, that's good.
Helps you think, right? Helps you make big decisions.
Yeah.
But she gets into the email later that she's trying to figure out if she should have a big wedding or not. She was supposed to have a wedding this summer, but she can't due to COVID. And so they've been putting it off. And so they decided to do a smaller wedding with maybe rescheduling a bigger party later on. Like, she's not sure what to do. Mm-hmm. And now that she's gotten all of her deposits back from her vendors, like, she's seeing a lot of money in her savings account. And she's like, oh, it is so hard to now take that money out of the savings account again and spend it on something like a wedding, because she's just maybe thinking now she doesn't want one.
Right.
And she maybe also wants to buy a house and all sorts of stuff. So
there's like a potential baby on the horizon.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just say this. Her schedule has been thrown off, because
yes,
when your schedule is like, have your wedding and then you're going to try to have a kid about a year later, this has ruined everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, is it the biggest problem in the world? Absolutely not. But, you know, is everybody dealing with money / scheduling / money issues right now? Absolutely.
Now, Bethany, from your perspective, you're someone who doesn't want a wedding. So I know what you're to say.
I mean, I don't ever know if I'm going to get married.
Yeah.
If we did get married, it wouldn't be the lavish wedding that I always thought it would be when I was younger. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I legitimately wanted reindeer pulling me down the aisle in a sleigh. And I also had an other alternative thing where I wanted to be in a white cat suit and all of my bridesmaids in black, like, pleather cat suits, and it to be like a spy wedding where all the men are wearing overcoats.
That sounds so fun, though. Maybe you should do that.
I mean, maybe that would be the one we call it. But I think now there's just something really wonderful about having a small, fun party. Mm-hmm. That really represents who both of you are.
Yeah.
Instead of worrying about, do we have the right number of bridesmaids and groomsmen? Do we want junior brides? Do we want, you know?
Yeah.
It's all a lot. And I think there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that are making us rethink what's important and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
You've said before, Kathleen, your wedding was a fete.
It
was a big to-do.
I feel like compared to other weddings in New Jersey, mine was smaller compared to some of the ones I've been to. I had probably about like 100 people. And if I could do it again, I would keep it to 30. And a couple of weeks ago, we got a voicemail from a taste bud named Molly. She was going back and forth between postponing this big wedding and just getting it done and over with and having just like a backyard thing. And she heard me on an old episode say, if I could get married again, I would have pizza and rosé in the backyard and like only my very best friends and immediate family would come, like no coworkers, none of that. And she was like, in the voicemail, she was like, this was a sign. Like, I wasn't sure that I was doing the right thing. And then I heard Kathleen say this on an old episode and I started crying. And so to A, I will say, I'd never had a big party before. I'd never had a sweet 16. I never had a graduation party. And so I thought that I was really going to regret not having something for a wedding. And it's just not the case. I wish I did something smaller. And don't put your life on hold because you think your family expects like a big party. Just don't do it. Just if you're feeling like you want to have a small wedding, let people attend on Zoom and then like get down to buying a house and having a baby. Like, I hear the market in September for the housing is going to be really good.
And I think there's something so cool about your experience being a time capsule moment where like your kids can say, yeah, my parents got married during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And here's pictures of the Zoom. And it's going to be such a historical moment to look back and see this.
Yeah.
Like, I think that there's something actually pretty amazing about that. And it makes your wedding even more important because it is a moment in time versus it looking like every other wedding out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's actually pretty cool.
You're right.
Like, imagine people who had to get married, you know, during the Depression, or who got married right before one of them went overseas to war. Mm-hmm. Like, those are moments that we look back and go, oh, what a time that was.
Yeah.
How different things were. And I think that that's interesting and that's pretty special.
Yeah. And also, pizza is like really delicious. So why serve anything else at your wedding?
And you're also going to be supporting a pizzeria at a time when pizzerias need to be supported.
Yeah. And I have a friend who's been talking to me about the Susie Orman podcast. I don't have too many opinions about Susie Orman. I know she's kind of polarizing. Apparently, Susie Orman is like, September is going to be a really great time to buy a house. So maybe like, you use all these deposits for your venue and for a down payment on a house and you end up with a mansion.
Yeah. I mean, because I know someone whose unemployment is going to run out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And they're panicking mm-hmm. about what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I can understand that if you have money and savings all of a sudden, maybe this is a second chance.
Yeah.
But there's also, so A was talking about how, you know, she has a really hard time making decisions. So if I have a big decision to make, A of all, I ask my mom and my sisters because they're very, very smart.
Yeah.
But another thing that I found myself doing is I do an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And if the answer that I land on, I immediately feel disappointment, I know that it's the other one. Oh. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you kind of might already know what you want, and that will tell you.
Wow. I love that technique.
It's pretty great. Or if you land on one and you're relieved, then you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow. I also like a pros and cons list.
I love a good list. My dad was a list maker too. I've been going through his stuff and finding all of his lists. I'm like, this is a beautiful thing, and this is where I got it from.
Yeah. Kathleen, how do you make big decisions when you need to?
I talk to my husband. And then sometimes it's rash and sometimes, I don't know, I don't know. I haven't had to make a really big decision in a long time.
You act based on rage.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I buy a lot of my favorite clothing items, based on rage buying.
Based on rage.
I mean, I guess like the biggest decision I made lately was buying my Peloton, and mm-hmm. that was fueled by alcohol. So I don't, I haven't made mm-hmm. really any very sound big decisions in a long time.
I mean, yeah, Dennis reminded me over the weekend of when I made a big decision based on alcohol when I commissioned a portrait Ariana, mm-hmm. what's her name, from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had to go back the next day and email her that you made a mistake.
Yeah, I was able to back out of that. Her manager was real nice about it. Yeah, I think a Corona wedding is actually kind of lovely if you do it really safely, and mm-hmm. I think it's cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk about barbecuing.
Okay, let's talk about the topic of the day, BBQ.
Did you go to a BBQ for 4th of July, Bethany?
No, and in fact, I forgot it was the 4th of July because yesterday I texted my friend Jeremy, who the 4th was always our holiday and we spent it always together.
Yeah.
And I texted him yesterday and I said, happy 4th, I'm thinking of you. And then I was like, today is the 5th. And so it was that much of a, like, Kathleen, I went out once this weekend on a Friday and I got so sweaty and so angry that it's just not worth it. Mm. So no, I didn't. Mm. Did you go to a BBQ? I imagine you did.
Well, yeah. So it was the first time that I've seen my nieces and nephews since March.
Oh.
We stayed outside the whole time. It was just like so fun to run around and like sit in the grass and eat some Rice Krispie treats with like 4th of July sprinkles in them.
That's great. Did you guys have sparklers or anything like that?
We didn't set off any fireworks, but like my little niece Lila, I feel like I've missed so much of what's going on in her life. She just turned 2 and like now she's like a real human and she calls me Aunt Caffeine and she's like really cute. And I just got to run around with her and get all my steps in, you know?
Yeah, I feel really badly for people who have very young children in their lives that they would normally be seeing a lot. Mm. My landlady was talking about how her grandchildren, she's just been crying because she's missing so much of them.
Oh.
You know, like I see my nieces when I go home, mm-hmm. when I visit home.
Yeah.
But I've missed a couple trips home now. Yeah. And I definitely am like, oh God, I'm missing them turn into humans.
I know.
But okay, so this question is from our taste bud, Caitlin.
Okay.
On the fan group. And Caitlin said, is it weird/rude to bring your own food to a cookout? We're having a few people over and my one friend always brings her own food. She doesn't have allergies or anything. She's just trying to eat healthier than cookout food, which I can totally appreciate. But even when we buy food specifically for her, she still brings her own. Should I be offended? I more just think it's weird. I don't know. You guys tell me.
Well, I'm going to let you take this first because you're the vegetarian.
I mean, I don't bring my own food to cookouts. I just assume that there's probably going to be non-meat stuff there. I think it's a little strange that she brings her own food, even if you have quote unquote healthy food. You know, like if she's doing a particular diet or whatever, yeah, and it's like a one-time thing, fine, I get it. I've done that before. But I would over time start to take it personally.
Really?
If it's every time. Yeah. Every time we do something, she brings her own food. Even if I have a very similar food for her specifically. Yeah. I'd be like, am I an awful cook or am I, do not trust my food? See, like, I would definitely take it personally.
I would not take it personally. And I'll tell you why. Because I do this a lot. I do this a lot. Because I want to eat healthy a lot, or, you know, I'm trying to be mostly plant-based and none of my friends. I only have like one, well, Bethany, you're a vegetarian, then my friend Kirsten's a vegetarian. But most of the time it's like meat parties. And so I will every meat parties.
Let's have a meat party.
It sounds like a dating thing. So I will bring my own like black bean burger and ask them to throw that on the grill, or like a veggie dog or something. And then I always bring like a pasta salad or some sort of veggies that I know that I can eat, or hummus.
Yeah.
I do bring my own food, but I don't bring my own food as in everyone's eating and I'm going to take out my lunchbox and like fix my own plate with only food for me.
Yeah. And that's the impression I got that she's doing.
Oh.
And again, it's one thing to like, you're a vegetarian, so you want to make sure you have a veggie brat, and so you bring it. That's great. I've done that before. I respect that. But I think it's a different thing, or you know, I'm going to bring a big pasta salad that I know I can eat and other people can eat as well.
Yeah.
I got the impression that she just brings a lunchbox. And that to me is I don't know. I get it like an elitist vibe too. Like, I know better how to eat.
And, you know, honestly, I would throw more parties if everybody just brought their own drink and their own food.
I don't know.
With Corona, I have friends in town a couple blocks away from me, and they live in a big building with a courtyard. And so for a while, and sort of when the weather started to get nicer before restaurants opened up and stuff like that, we would meet in their courtyard and everyone would bring like their own little cooler with their own little drinks. And we would just show up and hang out at a distance and drink our own food and eat our own snacks.
Yeah.
And it was kind of amazing. Nobody had to be stressed out about like making things for other people. Nobody had to be stressed out about a spread. I actually think that lunchbox parties should become a thing. But as long as everyone's doing it, not when one person does it, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, I think that that sounds like a lovely party. I would go to that party. You know you're going to like what you're going to get. But yeah, a couple of people are commenting. And one guy said, just let her be. She could have OCD or something else that makes her feel unsafe, which is very possible. That's what I thought too. It's like maybe it's an anxiety thing. But Caitlin responded and said, it's about Weight Watchers, which she gets obsessive about. So, and Jim responded then, Weight Watchers is expensive, so I can see she's trying to be vigilant.
You want to bring things where you can count your points. I get it. I think in life, it's better if you have like a little bit more flexibility, but I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if she has a specific thing and it's Weight Watchers and she's counting points, then I've been there. You know, my eating disorder is based on calorie counting. And so I'm not allowed to count calories anymore. Mm-hmm. But when it was that, I was obsessive. And so if I didn't know what to expect there, I would bring food that I already knew the calories. Mm. So at that point, it's something that that person is dealing with. And so, you don't want to get involved and make them feel bad. But I'm glad we figured out it was Weight Watchers, because if it wasn't, I was going to be like, what are you doing? Why are you being so elitist?
Why is your hummus better than my hummus? Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
My grapes are cotton candy grapes. Therefore, they are sweeter than your Shoprite grapes.
Are cotton candy grapes still a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Are they still around?
Yeah, they're hard to find, though. And they're very expensive when you do find them.
Yeah. Those are delicious. And I've had them once and they were amazing. I think you brought them. Maybe you brought them.
Yeah. Sometimes I get them at Trader Joe's. I've been obsessed with cherries lately. I'm pounding cherries like it's the last meal I'm ever going to have.
They're delicious. I love them, especially when they're pitted and then covered in chocolate and then presented on a plastic tray.
There's just... Oh, Bethany, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten breakfast yet. Damn, girl. Damn.
We started our recording and I so was not prepared. And if I don't eat breakfast right away in the morning, I get really nauseated. And so I realized I hadn't eaten breakfast, but we had to record. So I took a tortilla. I took two knifefuls of peanut butter, slapped them on the pita or on the tortilla, closed the tortilla in half, and then rubbed the two sides together to spread the peanut butter out.
Yeah.
And then I ate it, and it was delicious.
That is a good, I mean, you got your protein.
Got my protein.
You got your good fat, your healthy fats.
My carbs.
Got a little bit of carbs. It's all good. It's all good stuff, girl.
I'm feeling great. And the coffee's kicking in. So right about now, when the episode's over, I'm starting to feel great.
I texted this to you. We've been getting a lot of tweets and stuff from Taste Buds. Yes, Babysitter's Club is out. I've seen a bunch of episodes. It's pretty amazing. And I know, Bethany, you had a gripe with Karen because you're like, ugh, Karen, she's the worst.
If you haven't read the books, Karen is the little sister of Christy, and she got her own series of books, and Karen was just whiny.
Karen in the Netflix version is really creepy and into witches and death. And like, she makes, I think it was Christy who was babysitting her. She makes Christy have a funeral with her for like a doll.
Okay.
And then she says the doll's spirit's alive. I'm telling you,
this is
Karen
my girl.
Is the coolest character now.
This is my girl.
And we should address the email and the voicemail that we got from our listener, Karen.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I have not had a chance to read the email, and I'm going to. But I did hear the voicemail from last week's episode, and I started to cry.
Yeah. Karen, it's her real name, you know, and meme Karens and all of the people using Karen as like a sort of like a
pejorative.
Yeah, it's a sort of a derogatory term.
It means usually a white woman who asks to see your manager.
Yeah.
You know, and is like far too entitled.
Yeah.
For her worth.
Yes. I want to speak to a regional manager, your service is subpar type lady. She always has something to complain about. So we've all seen these memes on Instagram and Facebook and stuff. And our listener, Karen, she's beside herself. She's really upset and it's really affecting her psyche right now. And so moving forward, I think I'm going to stop sharing Karen memes and calling people Karens.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing because it just is one of those things that, of course, it's going to hurt people's feelings. And I don't know why it didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
But like, of course it's hurtful. And so, I'm not going to do that.
I can't imagine if it was a Kathleen. I would be beside myself. At first, I would think it was cool that I was seeing my name everywhere. And then I'd be like, but I'm not like that. And I'm Kathleen.
Well, and like, I know several people named Bethany. And I would say the vast majority of Bethanys I know are not nice people.
Really?
And so, I know a couple of like pretty questionable / I know one very mean Bethany. And I hate that they have my name because I think I'm pretty sweet and kind of nice. And like,
I like
it sucks. Yeah. And I also know somebody who only ever knew like an awful Bethany when she was growing up. And so I'm like, ugh. So I get that like it sucks when your name is associated with something awful. So we are sorry to you, Karen, who emailed, and all of the Karens who are hard, because it's just not fun. You know, we can.
No,
we're smarter. We're smarter. And can figure out a different way to explain that than just going back to the name Karen.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
We should have been more sensitive to that in the beginning, and we apologize.
So instead we'll call her Kristen. Kidding. Kidding. I'm just kidding.
We'll just say K. We'll say, oh, don't be such a K.
And then there's someone named K who's like, what the hell?
I hate the letter K. I know that my name starts with K. I hate the letter K. I think it's a trashy letter.
Really?
I don't like the letter K. It's all like,
oh, it strikes me as someone who's standing with their leg out and their arm up like they're amazing.
You know what? K could be like somebody catching a cab. And actually, when I think about it that way, like.
Yeah, she's like stepping into the gutter to grab that cab.
Maybe I'm going to change my opinion on the letter K. It's not like the trailer trash and letter of the alphabet anymore. It's this chic Manhattan lady catching a cab because she has got great gams.
Yeah, I think it's time to reinvent the K. I mean, you're stuck with it literally for the rest of your life, so you might as well.
All right, taste buds, thanks for tuning in.
We're doing the Lord's work today.
Is there anything else you want to add, Bethany, before we sign off on this loosey-goosey bonus?
Yes, very, very quickly. I want to say thank you to everybody who watched my short film Lonely Hearts at the Portland Horror Festival. It was a couple weeks ago, and they announced the award winners of the festival on Saturday. And Lonely Hearts was one of 4 or 5 nominees for the Audience Choice Awards. We didn't win it, but the fact that we were nominated for it means that enough people voted for it as one of their favorites. And I think that that comes down to the taste buds. So thank you so much to everyone who watched Lonely Hearts at the Portland Horror Film Festival. And also, we won the Horror Comedy Award. So we're so psyched. We're thrilled. So we just wanted to say thank you to the taste buds, Dennis and I did, because you guys really turned out for us, and we're so, so, so grateful.
Aww. I love that.
Yeah. Ugh. That's it. How about you, Kathleen? Anything?
No, just halter tops.
Yeah, bring them back. Justice for the halter.
Yeah, please.
J for the H.